I'd like to begin, if I may, by reading, because it'll make it briefer, the first page of what I've just offered you as an introduction to the first two chapters of Matthew. The opening two chapters of Matthew have no parallel in the other Gospels and provide an important clue to Matthew's special interests. In these chapters, Matthew uses a literary style, and it has a name, and the name is Midrash. It was very familiar in Matthew's largely Jewish community. To grasp the reasons for its familiarity, we need to engage in a small bit of history. The ordinary people of Jesus' day could not read Hebrew, the classical language of the sacred writings. During the period of the Persian rule, from 538 till Alexander the Great in the 330s, Aramaic had gradually taken over as the common language of the region. To make the Hebrew Bible accessible to the people, those preaching in the synagogues would select texts and weave them into a story preached in Aramaic. A story that would capture the imagination of their listeners and help them focus on the theme being developed. This kind of storytelling was called midrash, from the Hebrew word darash, which means to search. A homilist would search the scriptures for texts that shed light on the situation upon which he wished to comment. Or, alternatively, having read from the sacred text, he would search his current situation to see how the text might be applied. And the product of that searching, the homily, was called Midrash. Drawing on years of reflection on Jesus and what it was that Jesus revealed about God and about the human condition, Matthew too searched the scriptures for texts that would enable him to demonstrate who Jesus really is and the nature of his mission. The prologue, that is, Matthew chapter 1 and 2, is basically an exercise in storytelling. The aim is to delight, but also to demonstrate that Jesus is the fulfillment of the history of Israel and the one for whom the whole world has been waiting. If we look for information about Jesus' childhood, we will be disappointed. Matthew may well have known no more than the information which we find in his gospel proper, which begins at chapter 3, where he tells us that Jesus was the carpenter's son, that his mother was called Mary, and that his hometown was Nazareth. As far as the childhood of Jesus is concerned, that may have been all that Matthew knew. Matthew's aim in the prologue is not to satisfy our curiosity by revealing further biographical details. Rather, it is to reflect on the profound significance of the person he's about to present, and to do so by presenting him as the fulfillment of the promises and spirituality of the sacred writings of his people. The first part of the prologue, chapter 1, focuses on Jesus' person. As we'll see tonight, Matthew presents him as the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, conceived from the Holy Spirit to be named Jesus, because, as he says, he will save his people from their sins. Matthew wants to present Jesus as the one in whom God is with us. We'll see that tonight. Next week, we'll move to the chapter 2. The second part of the prologue focuses on Jesus' mission. Born of the city of David, he is to be the king of the Jews. He is also to attract wise men from the east and thus enlighten the Gentile world as well. He is to fulfill the destiny for which Israel was called out of Egypt, the offering of myrrh and the weeping of Rachel. Prepare us for Jesus' suffering. Matthew writes these chapters with superb artistry and skill. Our aim is to read them as the early Jewish Christian community would have read them, as stories that reach beyond the surface details of biography to penetrate the divine mystery revealed in the man who emerged from Nazareth to capture hearts and minds with the wonder of his person and his preaching.